It is 6 minutes after 9 o'clock on a Friday morning. It's the first Friday of the month, and you know what that means. It's time to put the mayor on the hot seat here in Minden this morning. Not literally, he's already been on a hot seat. It's been hot lately, period. So it is Ask the Mayor with Minden Mayor Nick Cox. We're live in the studio this morning. Good morning, Mayor. How are you today?
Good morning. Doing good, Mark. How are you?
All been good. Had a little issue out in the Babs Park area yesterday from what I saw.
That's right. We at about 5 o'clock, I heard the thunder, and that's a noise that we hadn't heard in a while.
What was that sound?
And I got real excited because I was hoping we would just get a lot of good rain. I went and looked outside. The skies were black, and I looked at my weather map to see how the radar was shaping up. I looked back up at the skies, and they were clear. And I said, well, there was no consequence to that. Well, then a minute or two later, I started getting phone calls about power outages. So in some parts of town, there was a little bit of a little storm pop up. And, when it's dry like this, the trees that are struggling or dying, you really start seeing the effects of that. And so a tree fell over in the Bab Park area and took down 4 light poles they had to rebuild.
Oh my goodness.
It was actually a pretty serious situation.
Deal.
I don't believe the power came back on till 11. I was out there from probably 6 to 10.
Wow.
And just hanging out, watching them, trying to see if I could talk to people that came up asking questions.
Yeah.
But it was a pretty serious little 5 minutes situation.
I was about to say it blew up and then it blew out about that fast.
Like,
and it we heard it more than saw it. It looked like it was on that side of town. The south end of Minden is kind of where it blew up the most, and it just dissipated just like that.
And we'll take any sprinkle we can get.
Absolutely. Had a good a little bit of a rain on Wednesday. I know that helped
a little bit.
With the water being the drought conditions like they are, what's the city of Minden's water reserves look like? It hasn't had any negative impact on them as of yet, right?
They're real quick to tell me when we have any kind of issues, and we have had discussions yet on low water quantity. So we're holding on just fine right now.
Well, it is Ask the Mayor with Minden Mayor Nick Cox here on AM 1240 KASO. You can also listen online at KBEF.com. Click on the Listen Live link and make sure you select KASO, or you'll just be listening to country music on the other side. We don't ask the mayor on the FM side, just on the AM side. So make sure to do that. We will also load this on our website on the podcast section later this morning. So if you missed any portion of it, you can go back and listen, or if there was a particular topic you wanted to go back and listen to in particular, you can go back and grab that section and listen to it and make sure you get the explanation, and that way if the mayor said something that you liked or didn't like, you go back and hear it and make sure you heard it right. So that's why we post those up there. And this only works if you ask the mayor. I can ask questions all day long, but it really is designed for you, the citizens of Minden, to be involved, and the mayor has graciously agreed to come on and do this. These questions come to him unfiltered, unsolicited ahead of time. So when we ask him, he does not know what's coming. So you're getting it straight off the cuff from the mayor, and he'll do his best to answer. Now, I know there's times where we'll have a question that may have a little bit more nuance to it that you just can't give in a one-hour show.
Right.
or you may have to get with other people to give a more
definitive
answer. And we may end up doing that as we go, have different people from maybe some of the departments come in and maybe take a particular portion of the program and talk about things. But the way you can reach out to us is by calling or texting. You can do that at 318-596-1590. That's area code 318-596-1590. I know that seems like it's not a local number, but it is. It goes straight through our computer, so we're able to take the call and see the text. That's why we have a different number for that than our normal live line number. So one more time, 596-1590. That's a 318 area code on that if you're texting. So make sure that you do that. And I guess, Mayor, we'll go with the one that has garnered the most attention. And we had an email, and I want to read the email. They sent a text, but they also sent an email, and I want to read the email just so I make sure I honor what they said and don't misquote them or anything like that. And They sent it yesterday, so I've got to scroll back and find it real quick. Here we go. And, well, that wasn't the one. Oh, here we go. Well, I had it and lost it all in one time. Let me do a quick search. This is Mark not being prepared, apparently. Let's see. Here we go. They sent it twice, so... And my phone is acting kind of crazy, so I may just have to, would you stop? Live radio is what happens. Oh, goodness. All right, let's see what we got here. All right, this is, well, it was a different person, that's why. And I'm reading the email as it was written. It says, City Artworks recently posted that they were closing October 31st because they were defunded as part of the city budget that was passed. Were there no other options to continue the funding of the funding in the budget? Are there any grants related to Main Street revitalization that would help keep the doors open? Along with the very recent closure of the Children's Center, losing City Artworks creates a void for cultural and artistic appreciation of local art talent, local talent for not only the citizens of Minden, but any visitors who are coming to our little city. Our city's youth lose another venue where they can express themselves and learn how the arts enrich their lives in a safe environment. Closing City Artworks leaves us yet another empty space in our downtown area. Can the council look at this budget again to make any amendments that would allow funding for City Artworks? I am only one of many, many citizens who are saddened by this news and would like to have some answers. So, Mayor, the floor is yours.
Well, I appreciate the comment, the concern, and I understand where you're coming from. I know to some people, City Artworks is a very important part of their lives, and it was a hard decision. I feel like it's the job of the city to do some core things, such as maintain our infrastructure and make sure our citizens are protected. So our budget focused heavily on public safety. It focused on the police department, the fire department. It also focused on infrastructure, keeping it up, improvement. We know that revenues in government bodies, it doesn't always follow the expenses. Usually the expenses outclimb the revenues. And so it's just a hard, there's hard decisions to be made when you're working on a budget. So we know over the last 7 years, we've spent $185,000, supporting City Artworks. So again, over the last 7 years, we've spent $185,000 supporting City Artworks. And so weeks ago, a councilman and I went and visited City Artworks to just see what we were supporting. We've asked different people just at random their experiences with City Artworks, and so we wanted to go see it for ourselves. We went and toured the building, and we went through there, and the lobby is really nice. It looks good. It's very attractive. You go behind the lobby, and there was this big space, about 200 or 300 square foot, just kind of partitioned off. And we said, "What's behind this door?" And we went in this big space, and there was, to be honest, there was just stuff everywhere. And I said, "Well, is this the city stuff?" And it's not the city stuff. It was just storage. It was being used as private storage and just stuff that I'm not even sure they know whose things those are. So then we said, "Well, let us see upstairs." And they said, "Well, we can't use the upstairs. We don't utilize the upstairs of the building." I said, "Why not?" And they said, "Because the roof leaks." I said, "Well, why haven't we got the roof fixed?" "Well, we don't own the building." "Well, why hasn't the landlord fixed the roof?" "The landlord said he would fix the roof, but he'd have to raise the rent." Okay. So then we went to the basement, and we looked around in the basement. We use it for storage, Main Street stores, some Christmas decorations down there. Mm-hmm. And we looked around. And as we were looking around, we're standing in 2 inches of water. And you know, it's not even raining.
Yeah.
And so
there's a leak in this old building, as the old
there was
goes.
Water on the ground, standing water. A good portion of the basement is standing water. Mm. There were extension cords ran through that water.
Yikes.
So my, you know, I kind of left that like, well, okay. And so, you know, you get to looking and asking people that you know. So I that's what I do. I ask folks, what is your utilization of City Artworks? How many times have you gone in there? And people that have lived here all their life, in my family, my friend areas, other just people at random, it's kind of, it's a sad thing to say, because I know that I'm not going to satisfy anybody who dearly loves City Artworks. But the fact of the matter is, the council and I discussed it, and we feel like it has a limited reach and a limited impact on a small portion of our population. And it's our job to spend the money as best we can with little resources we have to try to reach as many people and serve as many people as we can.
Well, at the end of the day, and you know, I'm not trying to make a persuasion either way, but just stating the obvious, the budget is a finite amount of money, and you've got to try to stretch it as thin as you can get it to make it work. And I'm assuming that was one of probably a number of hard decisions you guys had to make when it came to making cuts. And that's pretty much how the budget works, if I'm understanding right, because you guys usually get a wish list and you just start whittling as soon as you get it to get the numbers to balance.
Well, there were things in the budget that we felt very strongly that we wanted to support. One of the new things we passed in the new budget is supporting the Council on Aging. Well, they provide meals for the senior citizens. They provide social activities for those that are over 60 years old. And if you go in there, you just about see people from your church that are using it, people from your neighborhood, people possibly from your friend group or your family group. These are real citizens of our city that get served. And so, you know, when we look at what we want to spend money on, we want to get the greatest and highest use out of the little amount of money that we have. And so, you know, we're not totally making heartless decisions. We just want to be as responsible as we can with the little resources that we have.
Well, it's a situation, too, where, you know, I'm sure none of these cuts are easy cuts to make when you have to cut anything, because I'm sure that's not really what the intention of the city council and the mayor is trying to do. They want to cut anybody out if they had in a perfect world.
If we had a really heavy budget, we would go and, but, you know, sometimes a program, you start a program 20 years ago, and it sees its lifespan, and it's time for something new. Just because we cut one program doesn't mean the city is against art. It doesn't mean that we don't support a better initiative that may come along in the future. Just because we're not clinging to that program particularly doesn't mean that we don't have a love for children.
Yeah.
I mean, look how much we spend in our budget for recreation as a whole, over $2 million a year.
Yeah. So you said, if I got the numbers right, it was $185,000 over
7 years.
The last 7 years. So that comes out to 20-something thousand a year.
It's not a humongous expense, but to be done with excellence, it would need to be severely revamped.
Yeah, well, and you're saying that the building was not actually owned by the city. It was actually just being leased from a landlord
that owns
the building downtown.
And technically, the city can't spend money on a property we don't own.
Exactly. So it kind of puts you in a catch-22 there a little bit. Is that something that maybe you or anybody else has encouraged maybe to reach out to somebody like Cultural Arts or Cultural Crossroads or somebody like that, where it's kind of a perfect tie-in maybe to kind of pick up that mantle maybe?
Chris Broussard, you know, years ago had this vision of starting this Cultural Crossroads at a place that she thought would be neutral ground where all corners of the city would come together as a community and have this cultural diversity through arts. And guess what? That's still there. And another thing, that organization struggles to get support. It struggles to get people's buy-in and help. They need volunteers. They need vision. They need people grabbing their hands and working with them. Well, the more outlets you have that are independently struggling, to me, it just makes sense to start consolidating.
Exactly.
And you also have the Dorchit Museum. mm-hmm. which is trying to raise $50,000 right now for more exhibit space in a bigger meeting room. Mm-hmm. And I can't speak for the Dorchit Museum, and I can't speak for Cultural Crossroads. But what I can say is they would probably welcome an artist setting up there. I know Cultural Crossroads already works with the children with the arts and things like that. I'd also be willing if an artist wanted to make an exhibit at City Hall, maybe that hallway where the mayor's pictures are between
yeah,
the
long
Civic
hallway
Center
between the two
and the actual City Hall. Maybe we could set up an art exhibit there and have a time where we host that artist. But we're not against the arts. We're just against carrying on a program such as City Artworks at this time.
Yeah, and you know, it's a like you said, it's one of many decisions you have to make.
That's
that
right.
May not always be a popular decision, but you're trying to do the best with the dollars that you have available.
That's right. And my goal when I ran for mayor, and you go back and listen to anything I put out during my campaign, was to move us forward together. That means I want as many people on that train as I can get, and to do it in a fair way. And to be fair, I have to know that in my heart, we're spending the budget in a way that serves as many people in the city of Minden as we can.
And to kind of stay in the downtown vein, there's a new downtown director.
That's right.
Talk about her and how things have been going in that area.
Well, you know, it takes some time to kind of get your things figured out, understand your responsibilities, but it's Taylor Wren, and she's been our Main Street director for about three or four months. Miss Hutto stayed and trained her and kind of showed her some of the technical things that have to be done. But I'm real proud of Taylor. She's working very hard on Christmas decorations. I learned from the last radio show that or before that Christmas decorations are very significant to the citizens of Minden.
Yeah.
So we've focused a lot of our energies of trying to get our Christmas decorations to look good, and we're working on that right now.
Well, the time now is 23 minutes past 9 o'clock. This is Ask the Mayor with Minden Mayor Nick Cox. Again, your phone calls and text are welcome, either or you can send us an email as well. We'll check those as well. The phone number to call, again, is not the station number. It is technically the station number. It's just a different number than the one you're used to. It's 318-596-1590. That's 318-596-1590, and we will make sure that you are a part of the program and your question can be heard and hopefully answered in the clarity that you need from Minden Mayor Nick Cox. We're going to take our first time out. When we come back, we'll have more questions to ask the mayor here on AM 1240 KASO.
Innovative technology is an essential part of banking. B1 Bank has all the tools you need to make your banking experience uncomplicated. From online banking to the B1 Bank mobile app, manage your business accounts anytime, anywhere. At B1 Bank, you can expect access to innovative technology in addition to personalized services. Learn more at b1bank.com.
Minutes past 9 o'clock here on AM 1240 KASO. This is Ask the Mayor with Minden Mayor Nick Cox, who is taking your questions, and you can send them to us via text or via phone at 318-596-1590. That's 318-596-1590. We just spent a good portion of the first segment completely talking about the city artworks, and the mayor discussed the reasoning behind the decision to remove that funding from the budget, and we've talked about it kind of at length, so we're going to move forward now on the program, unless there's something else you wanted to run over on that, or I think we've pretty much kind of cleared all the air on that at this point.
Well, I would like to add we have the city council has approved a, we got a grant for $135 strategic plan. Okay. And in the next coming months, we're going to have open sessions for the public where we're going to invite the citizens to come and give their input on what they want to see the future of the city shaped as. Mm-hmm. So anyone, and I'm saying this now, and we can talk about this again later if you want to, but I'm saying this now because if someone, I've heard several people say, we've got to fight for the arts, we've got to fight and stand up for arts. Well, come to those city forums.
Perfect time to do
Yeah,
so.
And express what your vision is, because just because one thing went away doesn't mean it, we can't bring something new in that would serve, hopefully, the city as a whole.
That's true, and that's a, you said $135,000
study, uh-huh. And an independent group is facilitating this for us. And
this was something that was passed at the last council meeting, correct?
That's right, and it, again, it was a grant. We didn't spend any money yeah. of the cities to do it, but other cities that such as West Monroe and Monroe have done strategic planning like this, and now they're in the implementing stage and they're having a lot of success with it. My hope is, and the council's hope is, it shapes our city for the way we want it to be in the future. So that's the time. I would encourage everyone who's passionate about anything, whether it's arts or infrastructure or historic buildings, anything that they're passionate about, to be sure to participate in those meetings, because that's where we're going to gather feedback and hopefully shape the future of our city.
Well, let's go back and take a look at the council agenda from this past Tuesday, actually. We met on Tuesday since it was Monday was Labor Day, so that kind of threw everybody off. Hit that Monday on a Tuesday feeling for everybody, and that late night for you guys. Get the welcome back from Labor Day. But the big thing on the agenda, obviously, matter of fact, I tell you what, let's hold that thought. I believe we're getting a phone call coming in, if I can... See here, we do have a phone call coming in, so let me take that. Good morning. This is Ask the Mayor with Minden Mayor Nick Cox.
Good morning. This is Jake Chapman.
Hold on, just
first time caller.
Hold on 1 second,
listener.
Jake.
Okay, I didn't have my headphones on.
Well, you got to put your ears on.
Okay, what's your question? First is this time, Jake?
The first time caller, okay. Long time listener. Quick question: the area on Homer Road in front of Ace Hardware, that drainage area had a really nice repair. What are the chances of the city being able to fix the other areas around the drainage, around the street, the street drainage rather, on Homer Road? Because the asphalt's kind of warped up around it, and it near about rattles your teeth loose every time you drive over one of them things.
Well, and you can't be involved in the city of Minden without experiencing Homer Road, can you? The trouble with Homer Road is, to be honest with you, if Homer Road was a city road, we'd already have it fixed. Homer Road's a highway, you know, Highway 79, so it's controlled by the state of Louisiana. So that's why it's in the shape it's in. It's really up to the state. Now, what we can do is we have pretty good constant communications with the state. We could tell them that our citizens are really tired of Homer Road rattling, as you say, their teeth out. You know, we can do that much.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Okay, thanks for the call.
All right. Well, thanks, Jake. Of course, Jake will be with me tonight. Colin Sabat, you can keep those headphones.
Okay.
We had to do a quick switcheroo. I joked with the mayor, said, well, we'll get some headphones if we need them. Well, lo and behold, the headphones were needed. So
yeah.
That's a good thing. That's a good question. So let's jump back to the agenda real quick. Of course, the big thing on the agenda was the adoption of the city budget. And I did a quick read because this thing's 50-something pages long. You can really get... You know, if you're an accounting nerd, I guess you could just have a field day with trying to pick it apart. But the one takeaway I took from the budget was that there was a deficit, but it was, if I recall correctly, in the neighborhood of $136,000. If I read the numbers right, is that right? Or correct me if I'm wrong. You've looked at it way more than I have.
Well, the budget is The
general budget, the general fund portion of
okay,
it.
Okay, I got
that. That's what I was looking the first page before you get into the minutia of it.
Because I was going to say the whole thing was 157 pages.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, that's like,
yes,
I read the top page.
The
summary budget, if you will.
To put it in perspective, you know, numbers are relative to, you kind of hinge them on other numbers. To put it in perspective, last year's budget that the council before us passed went into the reserves over $2 million. It was like $2.2 or $2.3 million. This year's budget, we will go into the reserves $1.1 million. And I know anybody with any financial sense knows going into the reserves to any degree is not good. But when you inherit a budget that, you know, like I said, last year's budget went into the reserves $2.3 million.
Exactly.
You can't just, we see cutting a small program off the city budget. You see how much that upsets people. Can you imagine if we had to
$2.3 million worth?
Yeah. Could you imagine how much I'm super proud of the budget that we made, given the plate we were handed. I'm very proud of the budget that we made. And our goal as a council is to raise revenue. Well, how do you raise revenue as a city? Well,
there's an unpopular way to do it.
We don't want to raise taxes. That's not popular at all. We would be having a really terrific discussion today if we were talking about
the
raising
the phone lines
taxes.
Are full of that
here
today.
So we wouldn't. But, you know, we want to raise revenue however we can, but we also have to cut any unnecessary spending. It's just a fact. That's what you would do in your house.
Exactly.
If you were going broke in your household, you would either raise your revenue somehow or other, or you would cut expenses. It's the only choice you have.
Exactly. And, again, it's kind of the city's kind of a living on fixed income, if you will, in a sense, because this is what's coming in. We've just got to make it work.
Expenses are rising and revenues aren't. So it's a tough situation.
I tell you, the one area it really affects you guys, too, and I guess we can deviate off to this, is insurance expenses are really going up across the board.
Yeah, that's right. I remember I think it was 2011, I was visiting with Bill Robertson, who was a good friend of mine, and he told me then, we were just sitting around eating dinner, he said, Nick, the mayors in the future are going to have a really hard time. And I thought, well, that's no worry of mine, you know.
Yeah.
He said the mayors of the future of Minden are going to have a really hard time, and I asked him why, and he said, because insurance costs. Used to, it was nothing to insure our employees. It wasn't hard at all. But now the rising cost of insurance alone is very tough.
I tell you, the one thing that scares me to death at any audit that I go to, you know, most folks – just like, oh gosh, it's the audit, you know, and they start throwing numbers out, and they do. I will say this: they have gotten better, the accountants, over the years, at picking numbers instead of just literally going through everything like they used to. I used to just die. It's like, this is going to be the worst 45 minutes of my life, but because, you know, at some point you just kind of drone out. So, okay,
hit the high points.
Yeah, so they do a good job of that. And the one thing, it's the one number that scares me to death, because it's just a number. It's not going to happen, but it's the fact that it could, and that is the potential cost if every employee retired at the exact same time. This is what's going to cost the city of Minden, or the parish police jury, or insert your municipality here. And it literally just shows you just how much that the city is on the hook for retirement, for insurance, everything.
Yeah, the auditors, it wasn't.
The state required it starting a few years ago.
Yeah, I was going to say, a few years ago, they came up with this new factor that they had to study.
Yeah.
And that's your liabilities that could be.
Yeah, and it's
they
not
have a technical
and,
name
and to
for
back
it.
Up, it's not like the city is on the hook for these right
but
now.
They are.
They are, but it's not all going to happen at the same time.
But
if it did. And it's really kind of a good practice, I guess. It kind of helps you think about, okay, what do we need to have set back?
What have we leveraged for the council and mayor in the future?
Exactly.
And is this looking like? Is that number growing every year?
Well, I mean, it's important because it lets you know. I mean, the city is one of the bigger employers in the city of Minden.
Yeah, last time I looked, I have 222 employees that that work for the city of Mendon.
Yeah, that's a lot of people.
It is.
But that was always, when they first started doing that at the audit, it was kind of eye-opening to me. I said, you know, it's more than just, you just think, okay, they're paying a salary. Well, you're paying for insurance, you're paying retirement. All these things factor in, and that's an expense a lot of folks don't think about.
No, and it's, and that liability is tomorrow's.
Yeah.
And that's a scare. That's something you don't see in the budget, is tomorrow's. So it was a good thing to add.
Yeah, I just wanted to throw as an aside, because I just found it intriguing, you know, like if everybody just said, we're out, you know, here's where you're at, you know, these are amounts. But the insurance cost, I know my wife covers the school board meetings, and they were talking about the property insurance and all the insurance costs generally just way up this year.
They went up this year.
And that's a strain on your budget.
Oh, it is. And to get into the weeds a little, the police retirement, that jumped from 28% to 34%. And that little bit of a percentage increased the police department's budget $200,000.
Yeah.
And we got nothing for that. $200,000. Just like that.
It's gone.
And we really didn't get anything for it. We're getting the same thing we got last year for $200,000 less.
Yeah.
But they increased their percentage to cover some losses they had. It's a tricky thing to manage.
Yeah, and you know, it's
a lot more to it than people realize.
It's about to say, those dollars aren't, I mean, there's an example of why you have to make cuts, because other things pop up and you've got to balance the books as
best
you can. And by law, state law, you know, federal government can go spend, we can go jump on a soapbox if you want. Federal government can go spend way more than they have, but state and municipals, they got to spend a balanced budget.
They give us everything but a money printer.
Exactly. But of course, adopting the budget and that passed unanimously. Of course, we'll throw it out there. This is the first time in a while that we've had the budget passed in a timely manner.
The council is made up of business-minded people,
mm-hmm.
and that comes with good things and bad things. But we're looking at the numbers. We want to be good financial stewards of what we have. And we want to make good, sound decisions. So we worked on it, we worked on it, we worked on it to try to get to a place where we were all very comfortable with it.
All right, well, let's talk about this one I found interesting. And it's kind of a lot of the things today, and really, to be honest, most council agendas are going to be procedural in nature. It's just things that you have to approve that are just common things that come up during the course of the year that have to be formally approved to be done. But was opting in or out of the government, the governor's Office of Homeland Security Emergency Preparedness Temporary Housing and Shelter Assistance Program. The city voted to opt out. The parish police jury also votes to opt out. Explain what it would have entailed had we opted in.
Well, like you said, that's an annual vote. We have to decide.
It's every year. Yeah.
And from all the information I've ever got, if you opt in and then decide you want to opt out, you can opt out at any time. If you opt out and decide you want to opt in, you can opt in any time. And what this does, this policy supersedes our ordinances in the city that say, hey, you could put a mobile home or a recreational vehicle and park it in front of your house if your house was destroyed by a storm.
That's the
purpose of this. But again, you can opt in or opt out. The council can change all rules independently at any time. So basically, as tricky as number four sounds, you basically just pick one or the other.
Yeah.
And because last year they picked to do it this way, we just went with it again.
So basically, it's one of these, say we had a tornado, heaven forbid, we had a tornado come through and clear cut a big section of a residential area, mm-hmm. and put us in a situation where temporary housing may be needed immediately. That would allow, we could opt back in to kind of help
that
situation.
And we could change our own rules. And so
relax ordinances that are already in place.
Exactly. Or suspend them. I would rather us be able to make that decision according to the needs of our own people than opt in and then have it imputed on us.
Yeah, well, I was about to say, at that point, the state is dictating the terms.
Yeah, I'd rather opt out, and then if we ever need to, we can change the rules to accommodate our own citizens.
Oh, that makes sense. And again, that's just one of those procedural things that comes up. And of course, one good thing that came out of the meeting, obviously, was a number of promotions with the police department. That's always a good thing to see those ladies and gentlemen move and move up the ladder, if you will.
I'm really proud of our police department and the job that the chief and deputy chief are doing down there. I sincerely am. I'm real pleased with our the reports I hear of violence and crime in our city. I think they're doing a great job.
Well, we will take a break real quick and come back for our final segment of Ask the Mayor with Minden Mayor Nick Cox. Again, number is 318-596-1590. That's area code 318-596-1590 for Ask the Mayor with Minden Mayor Nick Cox. And we will be back in just a minute. You're listening to Ask the Mayor with Minden Mayor Nick Cox on AM 1240 KASO.
What sets B1 Bank apart? They know the importance of strong relationships. Having a true relationship with your bank is essential. You can count on B1 Bank to take the time to understand your goals and match you with the solutions you need to find success. The growth of your business is your top priority, and B1 Bank makes it their top priority too. Discover relationship banking at its best at b1bank.com/business.
.942 here on AM 1240 KASO. This is Ask the Mayor with Minden Mayor Nick Cox on a first Friday of the month. This is Friday, September the 8th. This is the first Friday since football season started, Mayor. And Glenbrook was on the road last week. Lakeside was in town. Minden had their first home game. And as far as I understood, everything from the city standpoint with the police department, everything peachy keen.
That's great.
Just a great, great night at the football stadium. And to kind of jump back, I know there was some talk about, and maybe it was in here, about extracurricular events, speaking of which, a cooperative endeavor between the city and the school board involving extracurricular events. I don't know if the football games are a part of those extracurricular events. Kind of describe what that entails.
Well, in my opinion, the city or any government body wins when we work together. So the city of Minden is working with the school board to provide security. And this is something we've done before, but used to the school resource officers were provided by the sheriff's department.
Yes.
But now it's going to be provided through the city, because if we had an emergency within the boundaries of the city of Minden, who are they going to call? The sheriff's department? They're going to call the Minden
Police
Department.
It's going to go to Minden first, yeah.
So we've been working with them on that. We're excited about that partnership. We're providing two school resource officers to the school board. But there are activities, like you noted, a football game. Well, they're going to require extra security. And so we made a deal with the school board that outlines the terms of that deal, where we'll provide extra security officers.
This would be like off-duty officers coming
That's right.
into work.
It gives them an opportunity, those officers, to make some extra money, which we're always for. We want to support our police department.
And, of course, that's a big event. You're talking about a stadium that'll sit close to 6,000 people, or 5,500-ish or so. So that's a lot of folks in a confined space.
And what you said about it went off without a hit safety-wise.
Yeah.
We had no problems. That's the goal. That's what we want. That's what makes our city thrive and keeps us in a good situation here.
I was going to bring this up last month, and I failed to mention it, and you know about it as well as anybody, because you've had to deal with it from the public works side of things, and that's the gas companies coming in and basically tearing everything up to do what they're supposed to do. Looks like the weather kind of blinked on us a little bit.
Really?
Yeah, I just heard the little bleep back there.
The weather?
Yeah, the weather's kind of blowing in. I'm looking at the outside. The wind just hit.
Oh, my God. I'm looking, too. It's really blowing.
Yeah.
You know, while we're on the subject of weather, funny thing about being the mayor, used to a storm didn't bother me at all. Didn't even make me flinch. But now if I see the weather's bad, I go into protect the citizens mode completely. It's a funny thing.
Well, if he drops the headphones and runs, folks, you know what happened. They, it hit. It's time.
You just totally re-diverted my attention to the weather.
Squirrel. Right. But it blew through. And
well, let's pray for rain.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to complain, that's for sure. But back to what I was going to mention was the gas companies. They've been, I guess they're running new gas lines through the city, and they've been going through sections. And it's been a complaint for everybody because nobody has been not touched by this situation because it's a total town situation. There's nothing the city is involved with other than just, I guess, you have to give some permits and things for them to do the work. Or how does that, or do they have that permission already?
They have that permission in the right of ways to do that work already. But what we have done as the city, we've had a number of meetings with CenterPoint and their subcontractors, EPC, and you've seen those trucks around. We've met with them a number of times, especially earlier on in the year, and we would pull up on the big screen TV. Tyler Wallace, the public works director, and myself, we would go before the meeting, ride around the city and take pictures. We're not happy with this curb. We're not happy with this sidewalk. We're not happy with this riffraff getting to our drain system. We're not happy. And they would go out from there and execute all of our complaints and make sure that they got addressed. And I think at this point we're getting to the very, very end of it. It's very minor things left. If y'all see anything that concerns you, I need to know. Mayor@MendonUSA.com. Feel free to email me and just let me know any concerns you have about anything. Mayor@MendonUSA.com. But I feel like they've done a good job of getting those repaired. The only complaint I have is it took them a while.
Yeah, it is, and I guess it's just a tedious nature of what they're doing. But they're completely replacing all the gas lines. Is that what they're doing?
Yeah, and they're pretty much through now. And so, removing old gas lines that aren't in use and things.
Yeah, and it's been some unfortunates. I know right as you're coming on the Broadway side right there, just past Go Fresh, they had a big uh-oh when they hit into a water line or something. It kind of made a mess. And it created one problem kind of created other problems. And that's just when the nature of the old infrastructure, I guess, that's kind of the stuff you run into.
And if it happens in the city of Minden, somehow I'm always involved one way or the other. Yeah. They pull me in. But we had, the city had nothing to do with it, but it was quite an ordeal.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, unfortunately, the nature of the beast with something like that, it's going to happen. A couple of additions to the agenda, they were kind of interesting. Neither costing the city any money. When you see something that talks about litigation, you already think the worst. And these were both kind of looked like kind of a more or less class action potential situations that we just opted to join in if the situations if it generates enough interest that we need to be a part of it. It's more of a if or kind of thing, if I understood it correctly.
Right. I appreciate your explanation of that, because this was one of those deals where the city attorney, came to me and said, look, we have the opportunity to join in two class action lawsuits. It's kind of a deal where you just kind of join and see what happens. He told me he didn't know what the results would be, but it wouldn't obligate the city for any money. Let's just go ahead. Upon his recommendation, we decided to just go ahead and try it and see where it would be. One is dealing with DuPont, some poly
that was with water, right?
Yeah, poly flow wall kill, some sort of molecule they think might have gotten water, but not particularly here, but just anywhere in the U.S. And they're going to go through the different government bodies that opted in and just test water for this. Yeah. So I don't think it'll hurt anything.
Yeah, at worst, they'll find some of the traces in it, but if they do, they'll clean up the mess, more or less, right?
Yeah, so we definitely want to have a seat at that table if there is a problem.
Exactly.
Especially if you put it on an outside source to fix it. And then the other suit was even a little more difficult for me to understand. It's some sort of social media suit where they compromise data.
Yeah, well, I was about to say, kind of like data mining within the municipal pages.
Yeah, it's pretty complicated. And it didn't really hurt anything to join it. So we opted into these just to see where they would go.
Well, what else is coming up the pipe? What are you prepping for as a city right now? Obviously, I know a lot of preparations underway. Even though it's in September, Christmas is right around the corner. I know the light crews are probably getting ready to do their part, and everybody's getting the Christmas lights counted and inventoried and checking on things. How's that coming?
Well, you know, when the budget's passed, you kind of sit back and say, okay, well, now I can get back to the day-to-day stuff that's
nope.
coming up. You know, right?
That doesn't exist, I don't
right.
think.
And then as we speak, the wind's blowing, and yeah. you never know what a day will bring. But, yeah, we're preparing for Christmas. That's a big undertaking. We have a lot of lights in the city's entourage of Christmas decorations that are not functioning. So we've got a electrician coming in to help repair cords, and yeah. then we've ordered, maybe 10,000, believe it or not, light bulbs to replace burned out light bulbs. And our Main Street director, that's where I told her to focus her attention right now, is let's make Christmas look as good as we can.
Yeah.
You see those Christmas decorations on a light pole that you maybe have Santa Claus or a candle. You remember those?
Exactly, yeah.
Well, one of those to replace it brand new could cost $700.
That's crazy.
Well, how many do you have? So we're trying to fix what we have, so
exactly.
we spread
just
the money out.
Just repurpose it out. Those things are built pretty robust if you just, I guess, maintenance periodically, I guess, keeps them, extends that life maybe.
That's right. And we had those nutcrackers, and everyone says, where's the nutcrackers? Well, we plugged a bunch of them in, and smoke started billowing out of their heads.
A little weathered there.
Yeah, so we've got to work on our Christmas decorations. The good part about the money that we're spending, the state of Louisiana gave us supplemental money, $20,000 for Christmas lights. That's actually how we're going to fund the repairs.
Is that from that Trail of Lights type stuff?
No, this is a totally different thing. They just came to me and said, give me a wish list, and I put $20,000 for Christmas lights on there.
Well, there you go.
And they gave it to us, so we're grateful for that.
Money that will be spent pretty quick.
Yeah, well, we're going to use it. But we want to, you know, again, when one decoration is $700 or $1,000,
it goes quick.
We don't want to burn through it where it's like, what do we get for our money? We want to stretch it as far as we can.
Yeah. And, of course, the Webster Parish Fair will be coming. Even though it's the Webster Parish Fair, it is housed here in Minden. Is there any prep work that the city has to do to prepare for that as well?
Well, in the fairgrounds, a lot of that city. So there's plenty of work to be done there. One thing we've done, I don't know if we're 100% complete with it, I need to check on that, is it's kind of an insignificant thing, but if you've ever worked the fairgrounds parking lot, we had the water meters and the electrical risers you have to maneuver around in
yeah,
the parking
yeah.
lots. Well, we're removing all that stuff that's not been used in years and years.
These are the ones adjacent to Griffith Stadium.
Yes, those obstacles.
Was that part of the for RV parking or whatever?
Yes, but we just have had no utilization of that at all.
Yeah, I think that was installed, gosh, probably 30-plus years
yeah.
ago. There was some specific thing that was going on, and
sure.
it escapes my mind, but I remember that all being installed.
We got to keep in mind that things that worked in the past don't always continue to work, and so let's do what makes sense for us today.
Well, we are at 9:54, a few minutes left here on Ask the Mayor with Minden Mayor Nick Cox. The number to text or call is 318-596-1590, 318-596-1590. Sales tax numbers continue to do well.
Yeah, they do. And I think that's part of inflation drove those numbers
yeah.
up.
Yeah.
But I think people are spending. And that's good. So we're real pleased with that. It's helping.
Do you think COVID kind of, I won't say kick-started that, where people were staying home and maybe they just continued to maybe shop local, whereas in the past they may have gotten that somewhere else?
I think COVID changed everything, and I think it changed the buying habits of people. So, yeah, I think you absolutely see that. I think we all appreciate, we kind of took a step back during COVID, and now we appreciate things in a little different way. And hopefully some of that is small businesses.
Yeah. Now, when you guys set your budget for the year, and then they have sales tax, you have sales tax budget numbers that you put out there. Now, those are just targets that you
yeah.
think we will hit. They're
projections.
They're just projections that you have to do for revenue purposes. When it runs ahead, is that helping? Or is that like extra money coming in that you weren't accounting for? or is it just how does that part work with the budget?
The way we would approach it is, you know, we set the budget, but if we somehow get extra revenue throughout the year, then all that means to us really is we'll amend the budget and not pull as much out of reserves, which would be totally fine and fantastic.
And, of course, the light bills, this is the fun time of year for those, unfortunately, because the heat has been where it is. And, I'll say this. I can't speak for every household in the city of Minden. My light bill, they're not cheap by any means, because that's what everybody's paying the same. They're paying the same cost. But for the usage, it feels like it's cheaper than in the past, if that makes sense.
It is. Let's talk about that for the little time we have left.
Go ahead.
The cost adjuster that we use, if you look at that PCA,
yeah,
power cost adjustment on your bill, and I did this with my own bill. I pulled up my bill from last year in August, and I pulled up my bill from this year in August. And this, I used the same electrical usage this August as I did last August, and my bill was, of course, my house is old. It's not insulated well. It's not energy efficient. We're not energy light, but my bill was $200 cheaper than it was last year for the same amount of electrical usage.
Yeah.
And so the reason you're not hearing people just throw a fit at me.
Which is your fault,
right,
you know.
Yeah, no doubt, of course. The reason you're not hearing people throw a fit at the city right now is because, really, our power cost adjustment is lower right now than it's been in many years.
Is there any rhyme or reason to why that is?
Yes. One factor is natural gas, is the cost is down, and that's helping tremendously. Another one is we've been working on them. And I hadn't said anything about it. No, we've been working with SWEPCO.
I got you.
And I can't say a lot about it right now.
I understand.
But we've been working on it.
And that's one of the fruits of the labor, basically.
You said it.
Well, I'm just saying, I guess that it's apparent that you know, there's been some good work going on and behind the scenes. And again, not a lot you can say on that, so we're not going to touch it. But
it's a high priority.
The end result is we're seeing numbers that are, you know,
livable.
better than what we've been seeing.
A lot more tolerable.
Yeah. And
it's the lowest we've seen in many years.
Yeah. Now, my bill was up because
it's hot.
Yeah. My bill was up because A, it was hot, and B, I had this bad effort of trying to keep my grass alive. And
sure.
And I just finally gave up because it wasn't working.
No, I did the same thing.
Yeah, I was just watering dead grass.
I think it's been done. You know, you asked me about our water conservation. I think it's been so hot this year and so hard to overcome that the reason our water levels are okay is because I think a lot of people like me and you gave up on watering.
Yeah, I think so.
You can't keep up.
It is. It has definitely been that. But we've got about a minute and a half. Is there anything that you'd like to mention before we leave the air for today?
That strategic plan, be looking for community opportunities to input on the strategic planning of the city of Minden. Please watch our city Facebook page. We'll be putting out information on when those meetings will take place.
Uh-huh.
You don't have to attend all of them. We just want you to attend one of them or some of them. But the opportunity is there for you to voice your opinion and help shape the future of our city.
Well, this is Ask the Mayor with Minden Mayor Nick Cox. It airs the first Friday of every month for the most part, and they will be live for the most part. Now, I think you've got a situation in October that we're going to have to maybe pre-record that. But the same rules apply. You can still text us or email us those questions, and we will send those to the mayor, and we will talk, or I won't send them to you, but no. I will ask you the questions just like I'm doing now, but in a recorded environment. And, you know, down the road, as we mentioned, we may end up adding some additional guests to kind of help discuss things. So, you know,
sure,
kind of bring some extra stuff. Well, Mayor, we appreciate the visit, and we will see you next week or next month.
Okay, thank you.